610-583-1057. Joining us now, longtime friend of mine, the pride of Kingsville, Maryland, Steve Molesky. Steve, how you doing?
Exactly. Yes, that was my youth. Now I'm in beautiful Harford County.
Well, I got the Kingsville in there, so that was my goal today. Like I said, we've known each other a long time, and I truly believe this is the first time we've ever appeared together.
Well, I mean, it's well overdue and needs to happen more often.
Well, see, now I thought that would be an interesting talking point, and apparently it's not. But anyway, we were talking just now about the Orioles over the weekend in Chicago, and they're sending out that patchwork ragtag group, and I was watching just, you know, because I was interested in that, but they ended up being competitive games. It was kind of almost stirring to watch.
Well, I think if you're a fan right now, your directions are multitasking because you're watching some of these new guys in the minors. How are the new arrivals doing? And you're watching the young guys in the majors. I mean, that's the real attraction right now. I mean, barring a miracle, the Orioles are out of it. And that's why they made all these trades. And you're also watching for Basayo and Beavers. I think they're going to be up before the end of the month. The team will never say this is PPI related or rookie eligible related. They just can't. But, it has to be. They'll get him enough games, my guess is, this year to really get a bit of an evaluation for next year. So I think the end of the year could still be intriguing in many ways.
Steve, I want to ask about Jeremiah Jackson, and he's been one of those guys that has kind of popped up here after the deadline. He had a really good series out in Chicago, but you go and look at his minor league numbers, he's been pretty consistent. This year he's got over 800 OPS and only played 40 games in AAA, but he's got over 1,000 OPS during that time as well, with 11 home runs as well out in Norfolk. I mean, is Jeremiah Jackson a guy that we should be keeping a close eye on?
I just don't know. He was a guy who couldn't get out of Double A forever. And I saw him play at Double A earlier this year. And they told me in Bowie that he was a real leader on that team and was taking some of the younger guys under his wing. And they really liked having him, and he was hitting pretty well, but not great. And then he bumped him to Triple A and he was hitting great. He went to Triple A and he just exploded. So they're giving him a look here now. The disappointing thing to me is they're giving him a look in the outfield where he has to play.
Right.
It's like, why make the degree of difficulty better? But, you know, they got Jackson, they got Gunner, they got Westberg, so no room at the end, and they want to get his bat in the lineup, and they're trying him out there. But, you know, he's a former highly ranked prospect back in the day with the Angels, and he's trying to kind of resurrect himself here, and he sure did at AAA.
On the morning show this morning, Rob had on Mike Bordick. And Bordick said the rest of this season is going to be a tryout camp. You agree with that?
Yep, I sure do. And I think we're looking at the bullpen now. I mean, I feel really good. I don't know if they're going to make it or not. I'm just personal human emotions. I feel good that Cade Stroud and Houston Roth are on this team. I'll tell you why. They were drafted in 2019.
Wow.
They have had a long wait to get to the majors. They were drafted with Adley and Gunner. Maverick Hanley was in that draft. Joey Ortiz was in that draft. And these guys have been pitching all this time trying to finally get to Baltimore, and these trades allowed spots for them. And I don't know if they're going to do well or not. I mean, so far, Stroud's done okay. We haven't seen Roth, but he pitched well this year on the farm. So, yeah, tryout camp, opportunity galore for some of these guys.
Steve, Trevor Rogers, another gem from him on Friday out in Wrigley. Obviously wasn't able to get the team to win that day, no fault of his own. But what do you make of just the year Trevor Rogers has had? And now after this, how are you looking at him going forward?
I think he's pitching his way clearly into their 2026 plans. And now you're hoping that Bradish can come back and Kramer keeps pitching well. And now you got three. And obviously we can't count on Grayson, but we can hope on Grayson. And then somewhere around those three or four, they got to add to it this winter. Now, I mean, there's still guys on the fringes like Povich who could pitch his way in. And we'll see him tonight in Philly. But I'm not sure he's one of their top five going forward. I really like Cordell. I think I've told you this. the guys at Bowie right now. I keep calling them Bowie. Their name would change to Chesapeake. Chesapeake Gray Sox. But, I mean, I'm going to have on my podcast this week, getting a quick plug here, steveonbaseball.substack.com. This week I'll have Trey Gibson on this podcast. I think he's the best pitcher in the Oriole farm right now. Levi Wells is throwing well there. Nestor Hermann is throwing well there. Juwan Rotz-Brown had a rocky one yesterday there, but he's there now. I mean, I think the collection of arms at Chesapeake is the best in the farm right now. And, you know, some of these new guys, Wellington Arocena, I watched pitch for Delmarva. He's now at Aberdeen. He threw a gem, 20 years old, throwing 97 out of the Dominican. So they got some guys worth watching.
You know, you're one of the experts on minor league baseball. And, you know, as you know, I covered a lot of minor league baseball, too. So I admire that because that information is not always readily available. Given that, Frederick and Aberdeen are swapping next year. Frederick is coming back into the Oriole organization. I feel bad for the folks at Aberdeen, but I'm pretty thrilled for the people in Frederick. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I share those sentiments because I was the broadcaster of the Ironbirds.
I remember.
I was a second radio guy way back in the day, and I worked in Frederick when I got out of college at Towson in the 80s. I love Frederick, and I say a wrong was righted here because they lost that team because their facility was dilapidated, and now it's getting $40 million in upgrades, and it probably needs more than that. I think the owners of the team admit that. But it's going to look a lot better opening day, 2026. It'll be MLB ready. And this team, this community, was first or second in the Carolina League in attendance the last 8 years of the Frederick Keys before the contraction, which was before 2021. So a wrong has been righted here. Frederick is one of the best baseball communities I know. They will support that team in huge numbers. They love the Orioles. They'll be so excited to have Oriole players again in Frederick. And Aberdeen's future, it's murky now. The draft league will be okay. It'll be fun to watch. It won't be the same. And we don't know beyond next year what's going to happen there. And I've been to many Ironbirds games this year, Bruce, and no one's going. It's been that way for years. I don't know what happened. But no one goes. I won't say no one because that's ridiculous. So there are people there. But it's just very depressing in Aberdeen. I hate to say it. But it's the fact.
Steve, we had a caller earlier that wanted to talk about the outfield and the future of the outfield. And especially after the deadline, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot these days. But Colton Cowser, it seems like he is going to be a part of that outfield going into next year, whether he's still in left field or maybe even playing center field still remains to be seen. But I feel like he is a part of their plans, at least for next year. I just don't know how sold I am on the long-term vision of Colton Cowser. He definitely does some good things, but his strikeout rate is very scary to me. His walks are going down. The power isn't there consistently. What are your thoughts on Colton Cowser and his future?
He tantalizes us with his talent from time to time. He can hit at 450. He leaps at the wall to make catches. He can get around out there well. So I think the team sees that too, and you don't give up on that. But you're right. This year, his strikeout rate too high, his walk rate too low. So there's a clear area to work on this winter. However they want to do drills or whatever they can do to help his plate discipline skills, it'll help him. Because it's hard enough to hit the strikes. When you try to hit the balls, you just got no chance. And so Colton, when he's chasing, it's not a good thing. We've got to work on hitting the breaking pitches. But I'm intrigued to see Dylan Beavers. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Unlike some prospects, he can help you. Five tools. This guy can run. He's got more stolen bases than you think. The pop, he's been working on it for 2 years, increasing the pop. He's a good defender. So unlike Heston, who struggled on defense, I don't think Dylan Beavers will when he gets his chance. And he's paid his dues, man. It's time has come. So I want to see if he can be the Oriole 2026 right fielder. And I think we're going to get a glimpse of that answer late this year.
Absolutely. Steve Molesky, great stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for finally being on with me. We'll see you real soon.
Thanks, Steve.
See you later.
Anytime, Bruce. Happy to do it. See
you. See you later. Steve and I have a lot in common. We share a mentor. we share Richmond to start our careers. Mm. We could go on and just bore the hell out of you, but we're not going to do that. Coming up, we're going to do the whip around, and I'm going to talk about the 2018 Ravens draft and something about it that you may not realize. Cordell will weigh in, too. That's next on the Vinny and Haney Show.